Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Avoidance by Kristen Granada, narrated by Charlotte Claremont. Prologue, 2010.
Can you do my makeup next?
I asked.
Not tonight, babe. Another time.
Where are you going?
Out to dinner for Roseanne's birthday.
I sat on the lid of the toilet bowl in the bathroom while my mother fixed herself up in the mirror. I watched as she flawlessly swooped her eyeliner across her lid without making a mistake. Her brown hair was the same color as mine, but fell in loose waves around her shoulders. I often wished my hair looked more like hers, instead of the thick, frizzy spirals I was cursed with. I didn't think that I looked anything like her. People said I did. But I think that's just the sort of thing people say when meeting someone's child.
Did you finish all of your homework?
I nodded.
Yep, sixth grade is a piece of cake.
She smiled at me in the mirror.
What are you and Dad watching tonight?
My cousin Vinny.
Oh, good. Something new for a change.
She rolled her eyes for dramatic effect. I giggled.
It's just as funny every time. I never get sick of it.
She spritzed herself with perfume from a blue glass bottle.
I don't know about this top. What do you think? I don't like the way it makes my stomach look from the side.
I think it looks great. You always look great.
I laughed at the way she fussed over her appearance so much before going out. Everyone that met her would make a big deal about how pretty she was. Strangers that passed us on the street felt compelled to tell her about her beauty wherever we went. My friends even made comments about how lucky I was to have such a young-looking mom. It got annoying, but my best friend, Shelley, would tell me to look on the bright side.
When you grow up, you'll probably look just as hot as she does.
I doubted it. She kissed the top of my head.
I love you. Have fun tonight.
I jumped to my feet and wrapped my arms around her.
I love you. See you when you get home.
I might be home after you fall asleep, but I'll check on you before I go to bed.
Okay, have a nice time.
I followed my mother out of the bathroom, shutting the light behind me. In the living room, I watched my father take in her appearance.
You look nice,
he said as he stood from the couch. She swung her leather jacket over her shoulders.
Thanks. Have fun.
I stood by the entryway table, watching as she rummaged through her purse. My father and I exchanged matching grins as she became more frantic in her daily search for her keys.
You two could be helping me instead of laughing at me, she muttered.
Where would be the fun in that?
I asked.
I don't understand how they disappear all the time.
She stormed into the kitchen, yanking open a drawer to rummage through.
They won't be in there, I called.
Merritt, if you know where they are, just tell me, please. I can't be late.
I held up her purse as she came back into the living room. Her keys were hanging out of the front zipper pocket. She rolled her eyes.
Sometimes I really think I'm losing my mind.
Only sometimes?
I asked. My father chuckled.
Don't encourage her,
she warned as she leaned in to give him a peck on the lips.
Don't act like you have no idea where she gets that sarcasm from.
She wore a smirk as she quickly grabbed her purse. She waved one last time to me. Then she was out the door. I often compared her to a tornado, blowing around the house looking for her misplaced belongings whenever she was running late for something. I pretended not to notice my father's expression as he slumped back down onto the couch.
I'll get the snacks.
It was a usual Thursday night hanging out with Dad while Mom went out with her friends. She had been a stay-at-home mom for the first 11 years of my life. This past year, she began working as a receptionist for a law firm in Manhattan. She even joined a gym and bought a new wardrobe to match her new physique. I couldn't blame her for wanting to feel good about herself or for wanting to pursue her own interests. If my dad could work and pay for things, why couldn't she? He didn't say it, but I think my father took it personally, as if her newfound independence meant she no longer wanted to stay home to be with him. Things seemed different between her and my father lately. Then again, I couldn't tell if they were always this way, or if I was just old enough to finally take notice. Together on the couch, my father and I laughed throughout the movie. I loved the sound of his laugh. It was a hearty chortle that was contagious to anyone who was in earshot. My mother and I were close, but I was a daddy's girl through and through. Whether we were watching movies or restoring the old Chevelle in our garage, we were an inseparable duo. Hardworking, loving, and smart, I looked up to him in so many ways.
"All right, kiddo,"
he said when the movie ended.
"Go wash up for bed and I'll tuck you in."
Once I was under my covers, I opened my favorite book to the dog-eared page where I had left off the night before.
"Again?"
my father asked with a smile as he sat down on the edge of my bed.
"Again,"
I replied, running my fingers over the cover of Romeo and Juliet.
"You're a sucker for a love story, like your old man."
I'm just fascinated with how they could love each other so much that they were willing to die without one another. That's just crazy to me.
Love can make you crazy sometimes.
What was your love story with Mom?
10th grade biology class. She walked in the room and sat in the seat right in front of me. She was so beautiful. I tried for days to get up the nerve to talk to her, but I couldn't figure out what to say. So one day, I tapped her on her shoulder and asked her for the time.
What did she do?
She turned around, looked down at the watch that was around my wrist, and said, "I don't know. Why don't you check your watch?" Then she smiled and turned back around. That was it for me.
What do you mean that was it?
I fell in love with her.
You didn't know anything about her. How could you be in love with her already?
Love isn't logical.
He shrugged.
Some things you just know.
I hope I have a romantic love story to tell one day. He touched my cheek.
You will, my girl. Just make sure he's worthy. Don't let anyone near your heart unless he deserves to hold it.
Will you help me and tell me if he's worth it, in case I can't tell?
Of course,
he replied with a smile.
I'll always be here to help you.
Chapter 1. The Bitch is Back.
I gripped the doorknob to steady myself as I felt my knees threatening to buckle from underneath me. My throat felt dry. Staring into her eyes, the same golden brown color as mine, I remembered how much damage the soul behind those eyes could do. It was no wonder that fear was the first emotion I felt upon seeing my mother for the first time in over 8 years. Standing before me was the human equivalent of Pandora's box. Just like that, all of the demons I had fought so hard to lock away were suddenly set free. They came rushing towards me, tightening their claws around my lungs so that I could barely breathe. I took one step back and swung the door shut with all of my might. I prayed that the powerful slam would send her back to wherever it was that she came from.
"What are you doing?"
Chase reached for the doorknob, but hesitated, thinking twice. I stared at the door, afraid it would magically open against my will. He gently cupped both of my shoulders and looked into my eyes. He was resisting the urge to shake me, I was sure.
"Mare, don't you want to know what she wants?"
That question snapped me out of paralysis. What she wants? I don't care what she wants.
"It's just me. You don't have to pretend that you don't care."
"Oh, I'm not pretending." A soft knock came from behind the door. I looked at Chase, incredulous that she had the nerve to knock a second time. A familiar feeling began creeping its way through my body. It slowly pooled out over my chest like hot lava, continuing down my arms into my fingertips. Rage and I were old friends, the kind who could pick right back up where we left off, despite all the time we spent apart. What was constricting my airways before could no longer stop me as I ripped open the door. "Get the fuck out of here!" I shouted. "Get away from this house! Get off this island!
I want you to get as far away from me as you possibly can.
Merritt, I... she began.
No, you don't get to say anything.
I stepped towards her with my index finger less than an inch from her nose.
You don't get to say a single word to me. You don't deserve to stand here in front of me and look me in the eyes.
She leaned against the railing behind her as she took a step backwards.
I know you're angry.
You know? What is it that you know exactly? Because if you knew anything about what I went through, you wouldn't have the audacity to come here and knock on my door.
What is all the yelling about?
Tanner was now standing at the bottom of the stairs. Chase popped his head out from the doorway.
Everything is okay, Tan. Go back inside.
It doesn't sound like it's okay.
He remained where he stood, eyeing the woman standing in front of me.
Everything will be fine once she gets the hell away from me, I shouted into her face.
She put her hands up in surrender.
Okay, okay, I'll go.
Chase stepped outside onto the landing.
Hold on.
No, Chase, don't,
I warned.
Let her go.
He stood tall, with his muscular arms crossed over his chest. To anyone else, his stance would have looked aggressive, but I knew him better than that. Chase was not a hothead, like his brother below us. His dark green eyes were calm and focused.
I just need to know. Why now?
He asked.
You ran out on your family so long ago. You left your husband to die, and you left your child to fend for herself. After all this time, why come back now?
She cleared her throat, her eyes nervously darting from me to Chase, then back to me again.
I heard about what happened to your father, to you. I feel terrible that you had to experience all of that.
She had to experience all of that alone,
Chase interrupted.
Because of you.
Hot tears stung my eyes as I listened to Chase defend me. She lowered her head.
I know. Merritt, I am so...
I put my hand up to stop her before she could get the rest of the words out. No, I don't want to hear it.
You don't get to be sorry for a choice that you made. If you feel guilty, then good. I hope the guilt eats away at you. I hope it kills you and rots your insides. Nothing you say will ever make this better. I will never forgive you for what you did to Dad.
The tears threatened to spill out over my eyelids. I could not allow them to come out. I would not give my mother the satisfaction. Quickly, I turned around and walked back inside. Chase remained outside. Their voices sounded muffled, and I was grateful. I did not want to hear another word uttered from her mouth. I felt embarrassed that Tanner had heard me screaming from inside his house. I wished that I did not let her get to me the way she did. I sat on the couch, hugging my knees to my chest, willing myself to stop crying in the silence of the apartment. Several minutes passed, and finally Chase returned, closing the door behind him. He walked into the living room, running his fingers through his hair, and collapsed on the couch beside me with a sigh.
Whatever she said, it doesn't matter.
I know.
He shook his head.
I always hoped she had a good reason for leaving. Like maybe she witnessed a terrible crime and had to go into witness protection in order to save you and your father from being murdered. Or she was abducted by aliens.
But now you realize that she is just a narcissistic asshole who abandoned her family for her own selfish reasons.
I wiped a stray tear from my cheek.
Are you okay?
Right now, no, but I will be once the shock wears off.
I looked up into his concerned eyes. Thank you for defending me. He kissed my forehead, then tilted my chin to bring my lips to his.
I will always stand behind you, no matter what.
Ditto.
I grabbed the back of his head and pulled him in for another kiss.
I have to call Shelley. Do you think you could go explain this to Tanner? And make sure she's not still lurking around out there?
Of course. I'll be back in a little bit.
After he left, I locked the door behind him.
I paced the apartment, listening to each ring of the phone until Shelley picked up.
I'm still mad at you, she answered.
Fine. Then I guess I can't tell you what just happened after you left.
You told Chase you didn't want to go to California?
Claire paid me a visit. It was silent on the other side for a moment.
Claire? Your mother, Claire?
Yep. The bitch is back.
Why? How did she find you? What did she want? What did she say?
I didn't let her say much. I told her to leave. I yelled. I thought about pushing her down the flight of cement stairs.
You yelled at her? I wish I could have witnessed that. What did she say?
She tried to say she was sorry, and that she felt bad when she heard about what happened. I laughed. As if that would fix everything she wrecked.
Are you okay? Is she still there?
I'll be fine. I don't know where she went.
I wonder if she's living here now.
I shuddered at the thought. I'm more shocked than anything. It feels like I saw a ghost.
I can imagine. I don't know what I would have done if I was there. Why now, though? Why would she come back so randomly out of the blue?
I don't know. Why did she leave when she did? That was out of the blue, too. There's no rhyme or reason. She does what she wants, when she wants it. She doesn't care about anyone but herself.
What did she expect you to do when you saw her? Hug and braid each other's hair? She's got balls coming back here. Everyone knows what she did. How did she even find out about what happened to you and your dad anyway?
Again, I don't know and I don't care. None of it matters.
Shelley sighed. Well, I can't be mad at you now. Claire really does ruin everything.
I chuckled. Good. Then you'll hang out with me tomorrow?
Yes. What time are you working until?
We close at 5. I'll have to come home and shower the smell of engine oil off of me. Figure by 6:30?
Okay. Mayor?
Yeah.
Don't let this ruin all of your progress. She's not worth it.
I know.
Okay. Bye.
I peered out the window from my couch in the living room, looking around for any unfamiliar cars parked nearby. Mounds of snow were piled high along the curb. The usual vehicles were parked in their usual spots. Everything looked as it did before my mother showed up at my doorstep. Still, I felt uneasy. Claire was a tornado. She came out of nowhere and destroyed everything in her path before disappearing into thin air. If all the storm trackers in the world still couldn't predict a tornado, there was no way anybody would be able to understand Claire. I didn't want to waste my time trying. Shelley's reminder about all of the progress I had made echoed in my mind as I sat. Just 6 months ago, I was waking up in the hospital after a head-on collision with a tree. My father had ended his life, and I was left in a deep pit of despair. A golden-haired boy changed all of that. With his loving heart and the most gentle of hands, he brought down all of my walls and showed me how to smile again. After the passing of his own father, the man who pulled me from the fiery car wreck to give me a second chance at life, our turbulent times were behind us. Life finally felt normal. I was happy.
It was typical that Claire would come back and challenge all of that.
My eyelids felt heavy as I watched cars pass by on the slushy street below. It felt like I had only closed my eyes for a second, but when I opened them again, the streetlights were on outside. I picked my head up and noticed Chase stretched out on the opposing couch, watching a muted television.
What time is it? I asked, rubbing my eyes.
Just after 6.
He reached his arm out for me, and I stood, taking his hand. He pulled me down on top of him, wrapping his arms around me.
Why didn't you wake me?
You were totally knocked out. I figured you needed to rest.
He kissed the top of my head.
That was a lot to take in. Are you okay?
I'll be fine. I don't want to waste any more time discussing it. I lifted my head off of his chest, and pressed my lips against his. Warm and inviting, they were exactly what I wanted to lose myself in. When I kissed Chase, the entire world faded away. The thoughts in my head were overpowered by the warm feeling that swept throughout my entire body. I positioned myself on top of him and lost my fingers in his soft hair, kissing him over and over.
"Don't try to avoid the subject," he said against my mouth. "Your powers of persuasion won't work on me."
I slipped my hand inside of his boxers. "I beg to differ." He exhaled as I kissed him again.
"No fair.
Looks like my powers might work on you after all."
"You play dirty."
In one swoop, he stood with me in his arms and carried me into the bedroom. We spent the duration of the night in my bed. Neither Chase nor I brought up going to California. We did not speak about Claire's visit. He knew from experience that it was best to let me stew in my own thoughts until I was ready to discuss them. He understood what I needed and did not make me feel guilty about it. It was one of the things I loved most about him. Long after Chase had fallen asleep, I remained awake, staring up at the ceiling. My mind kept replaying the scene outside my front door. I had always been level-headed. I learned early on to internalize my emotions, reacting in my head instead of lashing out. Today, I acted like someone I did not recognize. I took all the years of built-up anger and resentment towards my mother and hurled them at her on my doorstep. I was baffled by the same questions everyone else had. Why is she back? What does she want? Why did she leave 8 years ago? Admittedly, I was too afraid to listen to the answer. I knew that hearing Claire's explanation would be anticlimactic, regardless of what the reason was. Hearing her explanation would not undo the years of torment she caused my father, and it would not give me back my childhood that she had taken with her when she left. Claire's side of the story would only make me feel worse, like rubbing salt in an open wound. It was safer for me to bury my head in the sand and pretend like nothing ever happened. Shelley, unlike Chase, always took a more aggressive approach when dealing with my avoidant behaviors. When we met up for dinner the next day, I knew I was going to have to face her firing squad of questions. I went home to shower after work and met her at the campus cafeteria after her class let out.
"Have you started packing?" she asked.
"I would pack if I was going somewhere."
"Aren't you?"
I shrugged.
"Just say it and put me out of my misery. You have already made up your mind. You know it, and I know it."
I pushed the fried rice around my plate. I scanned the cafeteria, remembering the last time I had been here, the fateful day when Chase first approached me. Looking back on all that had happened, it seemed like a lifetime ago.
"What are you smiling about?"
"This is where Chase and I met."
"After you flung the soda bottle across the room."
"Because you made me drop it." She smiled.
"You're welcome."
I rolled my eyes, but could not fight the grin on my face.
"Where do you think Claire went?"
"Don't know. Don't care." I shoved a forkful of rice into my mouth, my smile vanishing.
"Your whole I don't care thing is so old."
"It's not a thing. I truly don't care where she is, or why she left, or how she feels. She could drop dead and I wouldn't bat an eye. Why should I waste my time caring about her when she clearly doesn't give a crap about me?"
Shelley sighed. "You always care, Mayor. You say you don't care, but you do. You would be cold-hearted if you didn't, and I know you. You're not cold-hearted. Your mother, your flesh and blood, the woman who gave you life, abandoned you. She created a superstorm of horrible events in your life. Then, when you're finally happy and everything is calm, bam, she comes back."
"Thanks for the recap, Shell. You should be a narrator in a movie."
"Come on. It's the most epic slap in the face of all time. There's no way you're fine and okay with all of this, no matter how much sarcasm you slather on top of it.
I placed my hand on my chest for dramatic effect.
Me? Using sarcasm to cover up my real emotions? I'm offended you would imply such a thing.
She tossed a fried noodle at me.
You're impossible, you know that.
I grinned triumphantly.
Thank you.
That wasn't a compliment, you freak. So, when are you going to tell Chase that you're going to California?
If I'm impossible, then you're relentless.
I tossed the fried noodle back at her.
I'm still considering my options.
Look, I know I've been giving you a hard time, and I know I'm selfish because I don't want you to leave me. But accompanying the love of your life so he can fulfill his dreams is the right thing to do. We both know he would follow you to the end of the earth if the situation was reversed. This is the one and only time you're going to hear me say this, so take it for what it's worth.
I exhaled as I looked into her light blue eyes.
Thanks, Shell. I appreciate it. I guess I'm just scared to be out there on the other side of the country all alone.
You won't be alone. You'll have Chase.
I know, but he'll be busy. What will I be doing?
You could get a job. Maybe there will be a car shop nearby that's hiring.
Chase Brooks, the famous rock star, and his mechanic girlfriend.
I grimaced.
Sounds like a match made in heaven.
You are my match made in heaven,
said a deep voice from behind me. Chase pulled a chair next to mine and sat. He leaned in for a lingering kiss.
And don't you ever forget it.
Brody took the seat next to Shelly and gave me a wink. Shelly let out an exaggerated breath and hung her head.
We've been together since kindergarten. What am I going to do without my best friend?
You two can FaceTime whenever you want,
Brody suggested.
I'm sure they will come back and visit, and we can take a vacation out there. I've always wanted to go to California. Does this mean we're going to California?
Chase carefully asked. Looking into his expectant eyes, I knew in my heart there was only one answer to this question.
I guess we should start packing.
Shelly groaned and thumped her head down onto the table. Chapter 2. Goodbye.
Hey, midget, pass me the bread.
Tanner gestured to the bread basket sitting in front of Chloe. Chloe's face scrunched up in anger.
Don't call me that.
Tanner sighed, well aware that he would not get any bread until he said it politely.
Can you please pass the bread?
Her face returned to her usual sunny expression as she placed the bread basket in front of her brother.
Merit, you've barely eaten anything, Beverly noticed. Are you feeling okay?
I fidgeted in my chair. Chase and I have something we want to tell you.
Oh, shit, she's pregnant,
Tanner exclaimed.
Language!
Beverly and Chloe shouted in unison.
We're not pregnant.
Chase took my hand under the table.
I got a call from Donnie out in California the other night.
Everyone at the table put their forks down at the same time, and the metaphorical record jerked to a stop. I gripped Chase's hand harder as he continued.
A guy from a record label heard my old demo and wants to meet with me and the band.
His leg bounced nervously under the table.
Merritt and I are going to be moving to California for a while. Are you kidding me? You think this is a good time to leave?
Tanner began. Beverly put her hand up.
Do not start fighting right now. We are eating dinner, and we are having a discussion.
She exhaled.
How long would you be living out there for?
I'm not sure.
Chase replied.
It depends on how it all goes. How what all goes? You think you're going to be the next Bon Jovi?
Tanner!
Beverly raised her voice. Tears immediately welled up in my eyes as I remembered how Tim used to come to her aid during times like these.
There's a lot I don't know right now.
Chase was trying desperately to ignore Tanner's provoking comments.
That's why I'm...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?